Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Alistair, I just wanted to let you all know that I was on an episode of Do Go on the Cloaca. Wacker for Cloaca. So, and my name is Alistair Trombley Birchall. All right, Andy, let's get into the episode. Yes.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this, the penultimate episode of Two at the Thick Tank.
Do you think that would be good? I don't know if that would be good if it was the second last episode.
I think you should always podcast. I always podcast like it's my penultimate episode.
Podcast like nobody's looking, like nobody's watching.
Now that's the new accordion to you T-shirt. As far as I'm concerned, podcast like nobody's watching is. That might be the funniest thing you've ever said. That's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah. I don't know where that came from, Alistair, but that's...
Well, it was whatever
was a,
you were
was
saying.
There was a hole in
it
my brain just, that has fitted into perfectly.
It was whatever you were saying. I just took your idea and then just fixed it.
I don't know. It's weird that you say that, though, because I was thinking... Just before we started, I was turning off a lot of lights in the room,
yeah.
So there was only one light on, yeah. And I was like, maybe I should turn off all the lights, maybe I should podcast in the dark.
Yes.
And then I was thinking, what would it be like to go down one of those really deep holes in the ground, like an old mine shaft, you and your podcast buddy go down there,
yeah,
with lapel mics on or whatever, okay? And then you do the podcast there. You're in the space together,
yeah.
But you can't see each other or anything at all. I think that would be a transcendent experience. I think that could be what brings us closer, Alistair, as people.
Yeah, I think location podcasting should be a very big thing. I think if we if we started shifting this into a very location heavy podcast. Mm.
It's a destination podcast.
Destination. That's what I was trying to say when I was saying location. You heard what I said and I fixed it, Andy. This is why this partnership works, especially for me. And it's a slight burden on you, but that's okay.
That's okay. That's all right. I was genuinely like, I think that really would be a remarkable experience to be there in the total darkness.
Mine shafts.
You know, trying
churches,
to come up with sketch ideas. Also,
deep
you
deep
know,
in the
because,
woods. Imagine podcasting completely lost. Absolutely have no idea where you are.
Oh,
I think
fantastic.
That's it would be
I
so
mean, that's,
podcasting
it's a,
on
it's
the
it's
sea.
Incredible.
Podcasting, you know, on all seven seas, on all five peaks, Kilimanjaro, the others. I only know Kilimanjaro.
All five. Is there like some category? Is there a big five in peaks?
Well, I think it's the highest in every continent. So it's
right.
It's Kilimanjaro. It's that
yes.
one in Antarctica. It's
yes.
It's that one. Mount. It's that one near India.
The one in Antarctica's got a real boring name.
Yeah,
like
Vesuvius,
you know, Mount
or like
McRobertson or something like that.
McRobertson. Andy, yeah. Maybe you just think that, like, I mean, McRobertson sounds like the most Andy Matthews name I've ever heard.
I forced a bot to read both of Andy Matthews' names. and then come up with a new one. And
both of Andy Matthews's names. I forced a bot to read Andy Matthews's name thousands of times. And offer and come up with a name that would offer some relief yet seem a little bit similar.
Why would you be doing that? Why would you be forcing a bot to read the same thing over and over and over again?
Well, I have to it.
Like reading your own name.
Don't you think I'm reading your name every single time I have to remember what your name is?
I don't know.
Isn't that?
Yes.
Isn't that
I'm really
what being
sorry
your
that
friend
you feel
is?
Like you're forced to do that. That you're forced to.
No, it's, I mean, I didn't feel forced until now, but then I realized that that's what you know, the boundaries of this relationship entails.
Yeah, that's what knowing someone is. Yeah. Being forced to remember them.
Well, that's right, because if
having them in
Andy,
your life,
if I start forgetting your name, you're gonna get upset.
Mm.
Even if it's joke upset, I know there's gonna be some truth in it.
Here's it. I've got an experiment for everybody to do tomorrow.
Oh, get a beaker.
When you brush your teeth tomorrow, when you look at yourself in the mirror, I want you to say, "You again," in your most sort of disappointed voice.
To the toothbrush or to you yourself in the mirror?
To you, okay. To you in the mirror. Were you having more fun imagining it to the toothbrush?
No. It actually really works for me in the mirror.
Yeah, great. See how that feeds into the rest of your day.
You know, my version of it that I've just thought of now is, we meet again.
Oh, that's really nice as well.
Well.
Well. If it isn't my old sparring partner,
you know,
that's the person you go in a spa with.
That's back. Is that sort of? I was about to say bacteria. Well. If it isn't my old sparring partner,
Legionnaire's disease.
I've been sleeping enough, and somehow I think that that's been leading to my nose being blocked.
Look, I mean, the feedback cycles that contribute to the state of your sinuses, Alistair, I can't begin to comprehend.
I think I realized years ago.
It seems to respond. Your sinuses are you must have got a spare set from a different dimension that are attuned to completely different. Stimulus.
You were like
milk and not sleeping
milk,
enough.
Milk doesn't do it so much anymore, but now not sleeping
anymore.
Enough. It's yeah. But now it's not sleeping. It's like as soon as I'm not taking care of myself, it's like I'm just in a constant state of sickness.
Yeah,
I mean that's what the definition of being unhealthy is.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It's like I'm sick. It's like I don't have all the vitamins that I need and the rest and things. It's like my health is in some
declines.
Way in decline.
When my health declines, I notice I become sick. And I'm starting to think there could be a connection.
We don't have a single idea, Andy. We've been talking for 52 minutes.
This is some of the best conversation I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm so happy. I mean, I wouldn't have thought, Alistair, that after
yes
a period of time in which I've been talking to you on the phone more constantly and
yeah, just constantly
collaboratively
working
that I have with anybody. About anything. I wouldn't have thought there'd be anything left.
No.
And yet here we are.
If anything, there's more.
Oh.
I have literally
been. We're finally getting somewhere.
In a bedroom with a child who has just been going, "No, Daddy, leave. No, Daddy, leave." And then as soon as I leave, he runs to the door and goes, "No!" Right? No! Like that. And so then I have to come back in and I go, oh, Huxley, get back into bed right now. And, you know, and then you don't.
Now, we've got all these people in CIA black sites, right?
Yeah.
Being subjected to sleep deprivation torture. As long as they're not sleeping anyway, it feels crazy that they're not, that we can't also get them to put our children to bed.
You're right. So you think we should get prisoners who are not, who are being forced to not sleep to put everybody else's children to bed, at least the CIA torturers to bed.
At least them, or at least the CIA torturers' babies.
So, do you think the torture?
Are there any?
Do you think the torturers at any point would be worried about the well-being of their own babies being in the hands of the people that they torture?
Sure, but at a certain point, I mean, you make compromises, don't you?
Of course.
You know, you don't want your kids to look at the iPad, but sometimes you just need that time, right?
Yeah.
You don't want the victims of your CIA torture to supervise your infant children.
But sometimes your country needs you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, or you want a break.
Yeah.
And those are both, you know, higher callings as far as I'm concerned.
All right, getting people.
I can't believe that of all the things we've said, this is the one that we're writing.
Well, I don't remember anything else that we said.
Well, indeed. My idea about going down into very deep in the earth, the podcast. I mean, if...
But Andy, that's a great idea for podcasting. Is it a sketch idea?
Let's look at it in more detail. What else do you do deep down in mine shafts? Well, you experiment. You try and detect neutrinos passing through the earth.
Yeah. So we should get the people that we're torturing to detect neutrinos.
I mean, if we're burying them alive anyway.
Yes. Well, they should at least, we should get them to yell out if they detect a neutrino.
Exactly. We should bury them.
You know what I bet?
1.2 kilometers inside the Earth's crust.
You know what I bet? I bet you. You know when you close your eyes and you see static?
I'm doing it right now.
Close your eyes.
And I'm seeing, I guess I am seeing, I guess it's static. I mean, there's sort of stuff.
Yeah, there's stuff going on. You know what I bet? I bet you some of that is neutrinos.
Mm.
Like, how could none of it be neutrinos?
You're telling me none of this is neutrinos?
I mean, if our eyes are detecting photons, some of it has got to be. And you see more static the darker it is when there's less light, which means you're probably more likely to be seeing neutrinos because
is that true? You see more static the darker it is.
Well, because during
less light.
Because when you're not when it's not dark, you're not seeing the static because you're just seeing the shit, the stuff that's around.
I'm trying to connect with what you're telling me. So I've put my hand over my eyes now as well as closing them.
Have you never closed your eyes, Andy? It's all just static and patterns and things like that.
Yeah,
right?
But when I close my eyes, I'm not paying attention.
Why
you know?
Not?
I'm like, how my
do you
eyes
close?
Are closed.
How do you close the eyes after you've closed your eyes? There's no internal eyelid.
But there's the choice to observe, you know, and I think I have a sort of an understanding. Which is that, like, when I close my eyes, like, that's it. There's nothing to see here.
Yeah, but where do you look? Where do you put your focus?
Do you have a
focus
bin? Myself?
Like a true, like a, you know, like a sensory deprivation tank that you can, maybe that's what the, maybe that's what the appendix was for or something like that. You know, it's a place where you can put your focus that does nothing. For once, that doesn't sense anything.
Mm-hmm. Look within.
No, because I...
It's in the appendix.
Andy, I mean, I'm not able to stop sensing.
Yeah, I mean...
That's
I
why
think
you
maybe...
can fall asleep so fast. You've got some weird
thing. I think it is.
Thing.
I think it is.
You've got some weird thing. What is this bin that you put your attention into?
I guess I turn off my brain.
No, but... Are you able to brain blink?
I think
consciousness blink? This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But like, when I close my eyes, I see nothing. No, that's when the fireworks begin.
Did they discuss this at all when you had your recent test for ADHD?
I haven't had a test, Andy. I can't fucking get somebody to do it.
Well, can I do it? You have ADHD. If you're closing your eyes and overwhelmed by the stimulus of all the things that you're seeing, that's it. That's what it is.
That's what it is. Andy, come on. I've recently had a thing at like in the middle of the night where I've just started noticing, like, you know, like when you wake up and you get up to do a piss or something like that. And you're like, you're mostly just kind of your eyes are closed and you're pissing or whatever like that. I sit down to piss, especially at night now. And then it's just like, and then you're like, okay, and then you just get back into bed and you just fall asleep. Correct? Because you've never allowed yourself to get out of that sleep state. Right? But now when I get up, for some reason the last couple of months, I get up and I go, uh-oh, I'm allowing myself to feel too much. Like, and this is the thought that I'm having. And it's really, it's that thought that is that is what is keeping me up. And I go, God, this is thinking. Uh-oh, I'm thinking now. This is the worst. And as soon as you let go of that little buzz of sleep or whatever it is, it does feel like, it's like just a weird vibration. It's almost like a fuzzy cord that you just got to hold on to.
Yes.
The fuzzy cord of sleep.
You're absolutely right. You're coming into the waking world, but you've got this bungee cord around your waist. And you, Alistair, you're looking at that bungee cord and you can see it start to fray.
That's right, yeah. And
you're not going to be able to bounce back.
I know,
into the,
because looking at it is what causes it to disappear. Being aware
of
it.
Be honest, Alistair.
Yeah.
In the last few months when you've been getting up at night and feeling yourself starting to wake up, have you also had a cheeky look at Twitter?
No, it's not even that.
Cheeky scroll.
Andy, I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't dare think that you could look.
Because that is like taking a nail file or even a pruning saw to that bungee cord.
Andy, I wouldn't dare think that you could look at your phone and get away with still being asleep. No. Do you sometimes do that? But then,
I can.
Yeah, I know, because you can fucking close your eyes and then nothing, you experience nothing. As if, like, you could shut down everything. That doesn't make sense. How do you make your heels not be so dry?
Surely one of the two of us. I've got very wet feet.
Yeah.
Everything about my feet I've got too much moisture in my feet.
I'll sleep with my feet in a bucket of slime.
Have we talked about that? Have we talked about that as a new
thing? I'm not writing anything down, so we better talk about it.
You know, little 1 foot out of the bed. Just in a bucket of slime.
If anybody wants to see my cracked heel, please join the Discord. There is a photo on there somewhere.
Yeah.
It's healing now, though. It's healing.
It is? What are you doing? Are you doing anything differently? Are you using an ointment? A balm?
No. I refuse.
Nothing. You
and it's working.
You do not negotiate with skin conditions.
No, it's and then I'm just waiting. I just drink a glass of water occasionally to make it better.
All right, buddy, you can have some water, but only because my heels are cracking like a parched desert.
Yeah.
I mean that, you know, that'd be good. You know, if you, it seems crazy, right, that I've got to put water in my whole body when it's just my heels that are dry.
Put a mouth on your heel. You know, it's like that thing with, like, when you work in a kitchen and, like, you're like, oh, the tips go to the, you know, like, you think the tips just go to the wait staff or whatever, and then they go to the kitchen as well. Yeah. You go, I'm not tipping the kitchen.
I don't know what they're doing back there.
I don't, you know, is I don't want the dish pig to get this.
Yeah, I mean, if he wants this tip, like this, he can come out here and flirt with me himself. You know,
it should just be one mouth. There should be a mouth for each bit that you want to hydrate.
When... There you go. I mean, that's what they do on a tractor. You know, they have grease nozzles, little grease nipple
exactly,
things.
Exactly, they do. It's a
for
grease
each individual moving part.
That's right.
Well, and you pump them up with your grease gun.
A grease, wait, a mouth. For every bit. Andy, I don't... It's not that I'm... I think...
No, I mean, it's good. It's decentralized mouth, you know? We're breaking the mouth's monopoly.
That's right.
Once we put the water into the mouth like that, we know that we know how these things work, right? There's going to be crony capitalism going on in there.
And you
I'm
know
sure
what?
That the mouth and the esophagus and the digestive system, they're sending the water to their favourite bits of the body.
Yes.
There's a reason your heels are dry.
I'm peeing out so much, I don't think that it's even doing the job of retaining any liquid.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like the kid who's got that route delivering, catalogs or whatever, just dumping them down a bank next to the river. Your body has got a specific job, which is to process that water and get that to all the bits, and it's just pissing it straight out, acting like it's done its job. It's not. There's no due diligence, you know?
You know, I'm really worried about the due diligence of my body. I don't know. Do you think I need to, like, have, like, hydrolite all the time? Just constant hydrolite?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you think I should buy their product? Maybe we should start advertising it on here.
I think, look, I don't know. I haven't heard any podcasts doing hydrolite.
You know what? I think...
Because it's not technically a medical product, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's borderline medicine.
Because you know it's like...
It's not good enough to be an actual drink.
No.
It's not enjoyable enough to like make it in the shops.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, but it can survive in the pharmacy world.
That's right.
As a medicine, it's delicious.
But you know, that's the
thing.
As
a drink.
There's not that much competition in the pharmacy for drinks.
Mm. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It can be a very, hang on, very wet fish in a dry pond. No, that's not
that's,
it.
I mean, when I was in Taiwan, I remember Qian, my ex-girlfriend, saying, like, she's like, there was a drink that you could get from the vending machine. And she was like, oh, this drink is supposed to mimic, like, the type of liquid that's in your body. And I was like, all right, you sold me on it. Because, you know, like, then the body doesn't have to do anything. It's kind of, it's already, like, kind of murky. Mm. It's already murky.
Yeah.
You know?
So you drink it, and the body's like, oh, this is already body fluid.
Yeah.
It's like going in there in disguise, and it's like going in a high-vis vest into a construction site or something.
Yeah.
It's just waved straight through into the circulatory system.
Well, yeah, or, like, if you were making pies, and instead of buying, like, meat, pastry, onions, and stuff like that. Something came out and it was already like in a sort of pastry cup and it was already kind of oozy and meaty. And you only had to slap a lid on it.
if you could
grow an animal that did that, that produced that kind of thing, like a pastry.
Oh, that's incredible, isn't it?
You know? Imagine that if instead of a cow just had like a bunch of things underneath it, instead of like it producing milk, it just produced, you just
pies.
Like, sliced these off and they were just essentially pie bases filled with oozy meat.
I mean, sort of like, this is breaking my brain a little bit, Alistair, because I mean, I'm picturing you there in your pie factory, realizing that it's possible to just buy pies. Right, and you're like, oh,
that's so good.
This is gonna save us a lot of time. Did you know? Well, you don't have to make these things. You can just get them.
They already make pies.
They already make pies. Why are we doing this? They already make them. There are already places that do this.
I mean,
you can get them from the shop.
Andy, you're probably describing like what most factories end up doing.
Yeah. Yeah, purchasing things from China, right? And they just become a marketing thing.
Yeah.
What about that? What about a multi-level marketing scheme? But it's just, what they do is they sell you pies, pie bases, right?
Mm-hmm.
That have already got mushy, meaty stuff in them. And then they sell you pie lids as well.
Yeah.
And then you just put the lids on the pies and then you try and sell the pies.
It's like a DIY pie factory.
DIY pie factory, exactly. And really, you know, you feel like you're home making them because you're just putting the lids on. And you've got all these pies stacked up. You've got all these freezers in your garage. You've got all these pies you've got to get rid of. And every time you go anywhere or you talk to anybody, you start talking about pies.
Well, it's a way that you could...
This is nothing, is it?
Andy, it's a way that you could pitch it to, like, people who love knitting and sewing.
Mm.
Right?
Oh, pie craft.
Yeah, pie craft. But you just sell it as... You just say, oh, this is... I mean, if you just advertise in knitting magazines, right, crafting magazines like this, and you just sell them pie bases filled with pie mush.
Yeah, it could be a real craze. I mean,
and then you let them sew with what's it called? Like
bacon
like
thread.
Bacon thread. Could be a bacon thread. I just think it could just be like what? It could be just puff pastry thread.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, so they just sew the lid on.
They just sew the lid on, or they can, you know, they can egg wash it.
I wonder if it needs to be more absurd than a pie.
Yeah.
You know? I'm trying to think. I mean, little kids, like, you know, girls who are like 6, 7, something like that, they get marketed a lot of stuff where it's like you can get these little gems and you can like use water to stick them together and make a bracelet or something like that. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
What if it was that, right? But they're making little sort of stroganoff little parcels or something.
Something super adult.
Super adult, exactly. But like just a very, you know, it's like a stew or something like that.
Very like.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Like no, I think you're right. It's a stew. It's a salmon with steamed vegetables.
It's being advertised to kids, but in that same really pepped up way.
Yeah.
And then the kids are pestering their parents to let them get this
boring meals, but advertised
chicken
to children.
Statutory, yeah, catchatory.
Like, but advertised to children. During like cartoons and stuff, and then they make cartoons based on these things, where the meals battle each other. People battle their their boring meals at each other.
Oh, so when there's characters in the show who put the meals like who they have to assemble the meals before the meal battle. Yeah, I think that's actually a really good idea.
Like. You go,
and instead of got to catch them all, got to get all the different Pokemon, you're trying to get together all the ingredients
need. You got
to
get all
to
the...
make this meal.
Oh no, that's not wholesome enough. I wasn't able to beat yours because mine wasn't whole. And this is like, I don't want it to sound too much like a good message. I want it to be boring.
Yeah.
And uncultured. I don't know how.
Like, oh. No, but I...
It wasn't common enough.
Yeah, but you, well, like once you say those things, you're almost making too much of a comment about it. Like you're stepping outside of it.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I mean, is the way that you battle the meals is that you put them in front of a 50-year-old divorced man, and whichever one he chooses to eat, that's the one that wins the battle?
Yeah. I mean, that's what a lot of these, so many of these shows that were just built around making a product and then advertising it to kids. Things like your Digimon, I'm thinking of like the ones where it's a
Transformers, obviously.
Transformers, you know. But like the ones that are on right now on Channel 9 in the mornings, which are the Bakugan and the card game that is, not Bakugan. No, the one where you spin a thing, spinning game cartoon. Wait, it's what's it called?
Wow.
It's essentially just a top, but they battling tops.
Wow.
I forget the name right now. We have a ton here. Battling tops. It's just like building a game around two people spinning a thing or launching a thing and then going, "Oh my God, you're somehow beating me!" As people just yelling a lot. And that's all you need to go, "My apron got chicken, will not be defeated by yours!" You know, it's going to be that.
Yeah, that's really good.
You know, it's like, sausages and steamed vegetables will never lose.
Yeah, dull meals.
Yeah.
Dull meal men.
Dull.
And, you know, yeah, and then trying, what are you trying to do? Maybe you're trying to fill up a hungry man the fastest.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe you've got two hungry men.
Yeah.
Trying to feed.
I picture a family that doesn't communicate, eating it and just getting through it.
Meatloaf.
Yep.
We used to have a thing that what was it called? It was like some weird kind of chicken thing.
Chicken.
Man, it was so awful.
If you're listening.
I think the chicken had like wine and stuff on the outside of it. Like a
veal cock or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It was always very dry and sticky.
I think that's how it's intended. Cockle
vein. The grill.
Well,
could have been that.
Coq au vin is a well-known French chicken stew where pieces of meat are braised in luscious, glossy red wine sauce with bacon.
There was no bacon. I'll have to ask.
Well, you're a vegetarian. That's probably why there was no bacon. She might have adapted it. She adapted it because you're a veggie. So you took out the bacon.
Right. We took the bacon out. Anyway, yeah. Great.
What about rabbit? Did you hear this thing about hares? I heard a primary school kid say this about hares that I didn't know. That hares are related to deer.
Now, but rabbits aren't? Is that the...
Yeah, I think the idea is that they look like... That they look like rabbits, but they're actually closer to deer.
Yeah, no, that's not true.
No?
That's not gonna be true. No. That's definitely
hares and jackrabbits are mammals belonging to
hares.
The lepus. Lepus or lepus rabbits?
Lapis, yeah.
Lepus? Is that what you're right? Yeah. They nest in slight depressions called forms. And their young are able to defend for themselves shortly after birth. The genus include the largest lagomorphs. Most are fast runners.
French, isn't French for rabbit is lapin?
Lapin, but this L-A-P-I-N? Is L-E-P-U-S.
Oh, okay.
Sure. I mean, look, Andy, I don't know. I don't, I'm basing this off of what a child said.
Yeah, I don't think that's... I'm really sorry to this child, but I think hares are more closely related to rabbits than they are...
Leporidae. Leporidae is the family of rabbits and hares. God damn it. I got fooled by a child. Not again.
They really had you going. I mean... Maybe they what's that jackalope thing?
Jackrabbits?
You know the jackalope? No, jackalope.
I think jackalopes are jackalope. Not real.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Indeed. But maybe the kid was confused by that.
No, wait, jackrabbits.
That is kind of like
I think hares and jackrabbits may be the same thing. And then maybe people think the jackalope is like a real thing.
That's what I'm suggesting. Yes.
Oh.
That this kid somehow thought jackalope sounds like antelope. Antelope type of deer. I don't know.
Now, Andy, now that this has happened, what do you think I need to do to this kid to rectify this?
I think you need to come to... Next time you see this kid, like next time you're dropping off at school or whatever, where you interact with this kid, you need to come really bloodied and beaten
up. You know
right?
I think, Andy?
Broken arm.
Do you think
arm,
I need to ask my
like
kid to tell this kid to stop bullying me?
I think you need to act like you've really been worked over,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
And you tell this kid, you say, look, I got in a fight with some really tough guys, really mean guys. Who were saying that hares aren't related to
deer,
but I stood up for myself, and just like we talked about, I told them what I think. Anyway, they really worked me over, but I told them to come and talk to you, and you'd explain it all, something like that.
So it really put,
you know, really
put the
make
fear
him
in
fear
him.
For his life. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's actually makes me feel... That would make me seem less pathetic.
Well, I mean, if you've been beaten up.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I think that's
but
great.
On
I
your
think that would
terms.
Really give me the upper hand there. You know, being so weak and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. It's great. It's like... It's great finding a way to the top through the bottom. Mm. It's like escaping out of prison.
A pushover and a pullover are really very different things, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, what would a item of clothing called a pushover? What would that be like?
Let's see. I mean, it's
I guess
something
that would,
you
maybe that would be a hat.
No, but you never. I mean, even then, I guess you do. Yeah, it's a that's more of a placeover. But
yeah, you're
right. A pushover, you know, in terms of clothing, is really something that involves another person that you put onto them.
Maybe it's a condom.
I would consider that a rollover.
A rollover, okay.
Yeah.
A pushover? A pullover? A pushover? What would a pushover
A pushover. Let's see.
Maybe a dog's coat? Or forcing a child into a shoe.
A sleeping bag? You know, a sleeping bag that you like you put on a person upside down?
There you go. That'll do.
You know, like a person you're trying to trap in a sleeping bag.
Yeah, I do know about that. Now, I haven't pretended to be a caterpillar in a sleeping bag for such a long time.
Yeah.
And that's a, you know, and that's a sad state of affairs.
Think about how if you were really trying to kidnap somebody, you could just put a sleeping bag over their head forcefully, and then tie up the bottom and tie that. Use that little tie thing. Put it over like a what's the a tow bar, and then drive away with your car.
Yeah, you could, and what would people think who saw you driving past?
Well,
probably nothing.
I assume you do it at night. Where nobody can see the things you get up to.
Yes.
Sorry.
Of course. Classic. I mean, I'm not sure that they design those little tabs that tighten the hood of the sleeping bag to be load bearing in that way.
Look, I'm not sure that I'm not sure if they
rated for towing.
I'm not sure if they deal with the make the sleeping bag out of stuff that is all that good at being dragged along sort of pavement either.
That's true. So that's why when you go into Kathmandu or whatever Patagonia, whatever your favorite hiking store is, when you're asking about the sleeping bags, you've got to make sure you wink at the sales attendant, and then they'll show you the real sleeping bags. They'll know what you're actually trying to achieve. There's an understanding. And this little ripcord here.
My beloved has come into the room. And she is not wearing any footwear, and both of her feet have a dot on the top of it.
What the fuck?
And she's just written me a note. She wanted to communicate with me in some non-verbal way. A note that says, "Am I Jesus?" Because there's a sort of like, I guess, a visible sort of light irritation on top of her foot that looks like it could be stigmata.
Could be stigmata.
I don't know.
Were you wearing shoes?
Am I Jesus?
You've got some very light.
Could you say, "Am I Jesus?" into the mic.
Am I Jesus?
Yeah. So, you know, that's a question for, I guess, the followers. We could put a photo of that on.
Yeah. No. I mean, that's really interesting. You've got just skin, just dermal stigmata, just the top layer.
Yeah, dermal
You've got a
stigmata.
Very light case of the Jesus.
Yeah, light Jesus.
That could be treated with a cream.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe if Jesus sort of was able to, like, if he had access to
excellent human being.
No, I was gonna say, what's that cream that we used to have in the big bottle?
Johnson's pawpaw ointment.
You know, maybe pawpaw.
Oh, what's that other one? Tiger balm.
No, that wasn't.
Remember tiger balm?
It wasn't tiger balm.
This isn't coming from.
Oh, wait. I know. No, I know. But that could be the solution.
What is this?
I think you probably just were wearing shoes. Were you wearing shoes?
No.
I do often. I don't go to friends that much. This is really derailing everything. Danny, I'll see you soon.
Oh, I had something there while we were talking about.
Sorbeline was the word I was thinking.
Sorbeline.
We used to have a bucket of sorbeline.
Here's my question to you, Alistair. The Stig in Top Gear.
Yeah.
Is Stig short for stigmata?
Well, it must be. What else would it be? How many other words start with Stig?
Now, we never see the Stig's face.
Well, yeah. Especially not
very
now.
Well be because he's... especially not now. Because he is Jesus Christ, perhaps.
Do you know who it was?
That's where he got his nickname. No, who was it?
It was Schumacher.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was Schumacher.
Well, I mean, maybe they did that as a joke one time or something. But surely, like, they would have revealed that as a joke.
Really?
In one episode. But it wouldn't have been Schumacher.
You don't think
so? For the duration of the show. No, I don't think so.
No? Oh. I don't know.
I mean, this feels like we're way behind whatever eight ball there was and talking about Top Gear and speculating about the identity of the fucking Stig, which, you know, is something for 17-year-olds to talk about in 2008. But...
Oh, no. I'm neither
but
17.
But now I'm Googling.
No, in 2000.
Who is the Stig? It would have been, it would have been...
just some different person every time.
Yeah.
I mean, Andy, you've been a person who's had opportunities doing stuff that, I don't know, like, doing stuff that might seem like it's not worth your time is actually where a lot of fun stuff is.
Mm, so you're thinking it probably was Michael Schumacher.
Yeah, I just thought, like, you know, maybe they... I mean, look, I don't know about the scientific rigor of Top Gear. Mm. But I would have assumed that if they were doing it, you know, having one guy test every car and sort of ranking it, they would have needed
it
to...
Should be
the same guy.
Yeah, and should be the best... car driver in the world at the time.
Exactly.
It makes sense, of course. I think we should start a podcast. I think this is so perfect.
And we could do it in
we'll start an investigative podcast
weird locations
where we
every
try
episode.
And work out the identity of the Stig.
Yeah. Wow.
We announce it with great... It's all about these investigative podcasts these days. That's all people care about, a good investigation. We could finally try and get to the bottom of it.
I think that's also what a lot of people like in sort of like journalism as well.
Mm.
It's all
more like a cold case.
Oh, yes. The cold case of the Stig, especially if Schumacher's was the guy because he was skiing. So it'd be a very cold case.
Can we write down who is the Stig as a sketch idea?
All right. Who is the Stig podcast?
Yes, great. So good.
It's because we're not making any progress. Is that why you're telling me to write this down?
Well, I mean, something, you know, it's an eye bolt. In the face of the Eiger that we are trying to climb.
What is an Eiger?
The Eiger is a big mountain somewhere in Europe.
One of the big five?
Could be one of the big five. Eiger.
Do they have, you know, they've got the big five or whatever, big seven or whatever it is with the...
Mm.
Do they have the big seven holes or big five holes?
Wow.
You know,
like the
trudge
the
down to the to holes. The deepest holes.
Yeah, that's nice. I've you know, you wouldn't say you've summited them, would you?
No.
You'd say, what would you say?
I've tumbled down them.
I've plugged. I've
plummeted.
I've gouged.
I've sort of stumbled.
Into.
I've managed to stumble into the five lowest peaks. Troughs. I've scoffed from the lowest troughs of each continent.
They call him the Sir Edmund Hillary of holes.
I love that. The Sir Edmund Hillary of holes.
Mm. Of holes in the ground. I think, you know, that could be a sketch idea. That's probably even a better sketch idea than the Stig podcast.
Andy, I don't think this has been a very productive episode, but I think I've been having a lot of fun still.
I've been having a great time, Alistair.
Andy, that brings us to five sketch ideas. Do you want me to go to three words from a...
Thank Christ. I think I speak for all the listeners when I say, thank fuck.
All right, well... Jesus, this is such conflicting information coming from you. We got three words from a listener. This is from Jared Schaefer, or Schaffer. And he's got three words. I'm pretty sure we haven't done them.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you, Jared. And thank you, Schaefer.
J-Rad.
J-Shaff. The J-Shaft. Andy, do you want to try and guess what... the first of these three words is?
Yeah, okay. The first word is yesteryear.
No, it's uncontrollable.
Okay. Uncontrollable. I'm sorry to say the second word is diarrhea.
No, Andy, that's silly. It's growth.
Uncontrollable growth. I mean, I guess if it was controllable, maybe it wouldn't be diarrhea. It's part of the definition of diarrhea that it's...
Yeah. Uncontrollable diarrhea. Like, I guess sometimes you can choose to release it.
Yeah, sometimes you get you've got a bit of power.
Of course, you don't have no power.
Okay, uncontrollable growth. Legume
collapse.
Uncontrollable growth collapse.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
it's interesting.
So, like, uncontrollable growth. So it's like you've been stuck in uncontrollable growth.
Yeah.
Like,
or it feels like a bit of an economic concept.
Yeah, but
right?
Think about it. If it was happening to like your belly. And it's just inflating.
And you go supernova.
It's inflating super fast.
Wow.
Like that, and then it goes.
Where's that coming out?
It's just through holes in the gut, in the belly skin. Like stuff is juices coming out, and like fat and things like that.
There are no. Are there any fetishes that involve pumping air into the stomach?
Oh, I don't know if it's into the stomach. There's people wear like rubber suits and inflate those.
Yeah, sure. But I'm talking about getting that belly real tight like a drum.
Oh.
You know, inflating it like a balloon.
Like what's the opposite of like taking degas tablets?
Exactly.
Gas tablets.
Yeah, that'd be it. And I guess, you know, what would be nice about that? Well, it would be so roomy in there, right? I suppose the food could slosh around really easily.
I mean, if you're sick of feeling full.
Yeah, I think you might still feel full. Although I'm not sure. That's a great question. Would you feel full if your tummy was full of air?
Yeah, because I mean, it would be inflated.
You'd feel very tight,
but
maybe
the food
empty
would be
as
like,
well.
You know, yeah.
It's an intriguing idea.
Yeah.
Could be a new restaurant where they pump you up like that.
Well, I did see an episode of a show where they would pump air into their butts so that they could fart more.
Okay. What show were you watching, Alistair?
Q&A? It was a Canadian thing. It was two guys.
7:30 report.
It was, what's that Canadian show where
two people versus each
other,
and they were pumping air into their butts. Wow. I mean, that's,
yeah, it was like, no, it wasn't corner gas, although that sounds like what it would be. Kenny versus Spenny, probably. Is that what it was?
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
there were rumors at school about kids who used bike pumps to pump up their butts.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Kenny versus Spenny.
Yep.
Must have been that. Why would it be anything but Kenny Hotz? Is Kenny Hotz related to Jeremy Hotz? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Well, that's going to be our next investigation podcast after we finish the stick one. We're going to try and find out if they're related.
Oh, that's going to be good, actually. That's exactly what we need, a second season, because people often don't buy it if you don't have a second season already written, or at least...
Exactly, you got to have something lined up. I was thinking it would be great to do it. Stop it.
Who's responsible... What about a third season? Who's responsible for the Holocaust?
That's what an arc that would be. Oh, sorry about the dog barking.
No, I like it.
I mean, what I think that this episode needs is more of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Wait, we haven't come up with an idea for this yet, have we? We just...
Oh, we absolutely have not.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So look, Okay, because we've said our bellies get really big and then they go. That's not an idea yet.
What were the words again?
Uncontrollable growth collapse.
I mean, but to talk about the economy and the fact that we are looking for a new model for the economy that doesn't rely on constant growth,
right?
I think that's our problem.
Yeah,
is that this growth idea is crazy, and what it is because I think what really drives that is this idea that the people at the top need to keep making more and more money. They need more. We keep giving more and more to the 1%, and so we need the constant growth so that there's just anything left over for everybody else. But
sure,
you know, it's not actually helping people. So we need a new model. What is going to be the way in which we, you know, measure the success of our economy? If it's not economic GDP,
what if there's
growth?
Like a way of, like, you know, like people talk about eating the rich, right?
Mm.
And that's often seen as a bad thing because it would involve killing them.
Mm.
But what if the rich agree to give us part of themselves at the rate of inflation per year?
It's interesting.
So,
yeah.
We get to eat 8% of the 1%. You know, this year, that's because inflation is at 8% this year.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
And they'll have growth that will bring some of that 8% back anyway over the next year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, are we just eating their fat or are we...
What they get to choose. They get to choose.
That's great. That's good because it's a free economy.
I mean,
we'll let the market
decide. They'll have probably accountants figuring out ways of
to evade,
like, you know, I guess vital organs.
Yeah.
And then we just eat them. It's just like that's the way we're going to do it from now on, because I think it almost doesn't make sense that all of us have to suffer with high interest rates.
Well, it's that old joke, isn't it, about the pig, you know, a pig that good you don't eat all at once. The rich are always telling us that we need them because they create growth, right? And they drive the economy, they're job creators, all that kind of stuff. Well, sure, but you don't need all your arms and legs to do that, presumably, right? Like, they're working in an office somewhere. They're very, you know, they're not doing manual labor, that kind of thing.
They only need their head, really.
A billionaire that good, you don't eat them all at once. You know, the rich, that someone that rich, you'd be crazy. You know, think of all the jobs that they create.
Is that weird thing where it's like, well, if inequality is so crazy and, like, so much money is in the hands of the upper percentiles, does it make sense to increase the borrowing rate on everybody when really you could just increase it on them and have a much bigger impact? Increase it on them a ton, and then that will have a much better impact on on the economy.
Well, I think isn't it because they don't actually spend that money, right?
Maybe.
Like, they...
They must spend some of it.
...hoard that money. They do, but proportionally, the amount that actually gets spent is by the vast majority of people who are actually buying, you know, all the commodities and stuff that they need just to survive. And that's the thing that drives the prices more.
Yeah, but I don't...
The logic, at least.
But I don't think that they're putting their money in just cash. I don't think they're keeping it. I think they're buying assets and stuff with it. So...
I don't think it's the purchase of assets that is driving up, you know, that drives inflation. You know, in your basket of goods...
Yeah.
That determines the consumer price index and the measurement of inflation.
Yeah.
The kinds of things that rich people are buying with their billions of dollars don't feature.
Well,
there's not
Well, some of it is. I think some of it features because I think some of it is just them going, oh, people are talking about inflation. Let's just put the price of our mini cucumbers up. And then there's going to be no consequences.
Yes, but... sure, but that's not because of the rich spending money on mini cucumbers.
I know, but fuck them as well.
I'm not arguing with that,
know.
Alistair.
Yeah. But I reckon, you know, I don't know. I don't have a good argument for this right now. I'm running out of steam.
Look, but I think your idea of just eating a bit of the rich is actually very good. And, you know, I think it's something that could be turned into a sketch. It could be turned into a piece of stand-up. It could turn into the fifth season of the podcast.
Oh, my God. Imagine that. Andy, I'm going to wrap...
The Who is the Stig podcast.
I'm going to wrap up this podcast. Do you think this podcast should turn into a Who is the Stig podcast? So that way we don't have to start again with listeners?
Well, as I say, this is the penultimate episode. So all will be revealed in episode 358.
Great. Also, it's only a one episode series.
We'll see.
Okay, great. Well, I'll take us through the sketch ideas for today. We got getting people you're torturing to put your children down to sleep. Then we've got a mouth for every bit of you that you want to hydrate. Then we've got boring meals advertised to children so they battle each other. It's not so that they battle each other. It's that we're advertising them to but kids are taking boring meals and battling them as a way.
I really want to work on this show.
Me too. I actually find that to be the most exciting idea. And then there's Who is the Stig podcast, which of course obviously Two in the Think Tank will become soon. And then we've got the Sir Edmund Hillary of Holes in the Ground. I like to think that it's not even like holes. It's like just mostly open, big open areas, ravines and stuff.
Oh yeah, of course.
The deepest ravines.
Yeah, valleys.
And then eating a bit of the rich. That's the last idea. You ready to go, Andy?
I sure am, Alistair. Right. Thank you for everyone for sitting through this.
Yeah.
It's so cool the way
you listen to
the podcast.
Oh my gosh.
And you put up with our irregular release schedule and our incompetent recording behavior.
Oh yeah.
And we appreciate that. And you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Stupid Old Andy. He's at Alistair TB. You can check out Alistair on that recent episode of Do Go On. You can hear me on a recent episode of Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. With
oh
Cass
my
Page.
Goodness.
That was very fun.
It was very, very fun.
And
we love,
love you. You.
Toodles.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.